August 23, 1937. How the divine will wants to grow in the creature and form its fullness. How the soul who lives in it is kept aware of all the works of her creator, who makes her possess all the divine works. I feel myself inside the waves of the divine volition, which, investing me, want to penetrate more into the depth of my soul, in order to make themselves known, and to make me feel their life, their celestial joys, the immense goods that the divine will wants to give to whoever wants to live with it. My beloved Jesus, who seems to be anxiously waiting to continue to talk about the divine fiat, all goodness told me, my blessed daughter, how happy I am when I see the soul disposed to listen to me, to receive the great gift carried by my word. I never speak if I don't see that the soul is disposed. In fact, if she is not, my word cannot deliver that gift which it, itself, generates. You must know that the more the creature seeks my will, wanting to know it, loving it, and not letting it escape in each of her acts, the more my will grows to its fullness. One more little attention is enough to make it grow a sigh, a desire for its life. Oh, how wonderfully it grows, pushing it so high, up to the heights of the divine sphere, to know the highest and most intimate secrets. My will is life, and as life it does not want to stop. It wants to grow continuously, and to grow it awaits the most tiny act, a loving invitation from the creature. Even more so, since it doesn't want to grow by force, but it wants the creature also to desire the continuous growth and fullness of my will. As its fullness grows, so does the divine strength within the soul, the sanctity, the beauty, the happiness, the knowledge and the fullness of the innumerable goods that my divine fiat possesses. See then, how much it means one additional act as I, a desire for it, a call, it is acquiring more of a divine strength. It is being embellished, so much so, that we ourselves remain enraptured. So we look and look at her again and again, and we recognize in her our strength and our beauty, and oh, how much we love her. We feel even more happy because she is for us the bearer of our joys and of our goods. Before this creature our love swells up, it overflows from ourselves and pours into her so much that it fills her up, forming around and inside of her our maze of fidgeting love, the ardent desire to make grow the fullness of our will. My daughter, there is a great difference between those who are all attentive, all eyes and all heart for my will, and the ones who just want it, but without any special attention. It seems that these don't have eyes to see it, heart to love it, and voice to call it in all things. Maybe they possess my will in small part, but its fullness is far away from them. Then Jesus remained silent. I remained immersed inside the eternal waves of the divine volition so much so, that my poor mind did not know how to get out. I felt like saying, Jesus, enough for now. My mind just cannot contain all that you want to tell me. And my sweet Jesus, placing his hand on my forehead, continued, my daughter, keep listening. See what point a soul living in my will can reach. My will keeps her aware of all our works. Our Supreme Being always maintains its works in continuous action. For us, past and future do not exist. So, the Heavenly Father generates continuously His Son, and between Father and Son the Holy Spirit proceeds. This is the life in ourselves, which, as heartbeat and breathing, forms our life, generating and proceeding continuously. Otherwise we would be lacking life in the same way as the creature would lack life if she didn't palpate it and breathe continuously. In this continuous generating and proceeding, we form immense joys, happiness and content so great that, being unable to contain them within ourselves, they overflow and form the joy and the happiness for the whole of heaven. From the immense goods produced by the continuous generation of the Word, and by the proceeding of the Holy Spirit, overflowed the sumptuousness and magnificence of the engine of the whole creation, the creation of man, the conception of the Immaculate Virgin, and the descent of the Word upon earth. All this and more is always in action in our divine being. In action like the Father generating his Son, and the proceeding of the Holy Spirit. Now, one who lives in our will is spectator of these divine prodigies. She feels as if she is receiving continuously the Son generated by the Father, and the Holy Spirit who always proceeds. Oh, how much of joys, love and graces she receives! She gives us the glory that we always generate in our will, and she finds the whole creation in action. We give to this creature, by right, all the goods of creation. She is the first glorifier of the many things we've created. She finds in action the conceived virgin, her seas of love, all her life. The virgin makes her possess it all, and this creature takes all, glorifying us for the great good we did when we created this celestial creature. She finds in action the descent of the Word, his birth, his tears, his palpitating life, and also his pains. We make her possess all, and she takes all. She glorifies us and she loves us for everyone and everything. In our will, the creature can say, all is mine, even God himself as well as the divine will. Therefore, she feels the duty to glorify us and to love us in each thing and for everyone. It is impossible for us not to give what we have done and are still doing to one who lives in our will. Our love would not tolerate this. It would put us in pain. More so, since we do not lose anything by giving. Rather, we feel more glorified and delighted if the creatures live with us, being aware of all our works, and possessing all of them. Being able to say, all that is ours is yours is our greatest happiness. Disunity never brings any good. The yours and the mine break the love and produce unhappiness. In our will, disunion does not exist, neither does the yours and the mine, but all is in perfect harmony.